She
I
got
donated
blood taken.
blood today.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you were
And
detoxing for
I
your week with
almost fell
Aaron.
over.
That's what I
Yeah,
thought.
well,
That's
that
what I'm
too. But then,
doing.
and maybe
This is just
because
water.
I was like changing the sheets on my bed before, and I almost fell over. So I'm thinking adding alcohol is probably not a good idea.
Great call.
Your body's like, could you please, for the love of Christ, dump some water down your throat before
Open your gullet and slide some water down.
My fucking all of my organs are like shriveled up prunes.
Your little check engine light's on. It's like, please add oil. Please.
Please hydrate.
For the
I would
love of
just
God.
like to say she kept up and actually the first night put me to shame.
Bro, she drank you under the table the first
Like
night.
100%.
Although I after the podcast, I rallied.
You
I
did
100%
rally. She did because we had a round of beers after.
Yeah, we had a
Yeah.
bunch of beers.
Like
Like Wade and I
yeah.
were like, let's just split some beers because you know, if we only have 8 beers but we split them, God damn. It was crazy.
That's
That's
some
what the thought
math
process
right
was at
there.
that point.
That's having
You
your ducks in
know,
a row.
subtraction.
That's a gross mathematician.
Yeah, I seriously, I don't even remember most of that night.
I believe
I
that.
literally was
Yeah.
like, what
Playing
did I say?
darts.
Well, I was like, what did I say during the podcast, Gene? Because I literally don't remember.
I don't know. You slept for a long time.
She was wild.
I'm so sorry, you
Darts
guys.
though at
Like,
1 in the
that was.
morning.
Yeah, that was not one of my proud moments. I know we were up until like 3:30
We
or
saw.
3. Yeah.
Good evening, everybody,
Alrighty.
and welcome to the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty, dehydrated feminist.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal with a bad liver.
Sober. These two are sober, by the
Over.
way.
Yes, we are.
Man, alert the presses.
I mean,
Yeah. Yeah.
So
It
tonight,
has to happen once in a while.
I'm drinking a I guess it's the 21st Amendment Brewery Brewing Company's version of the Corona, not like the virus, but like the
Oh,
beverage Corona.
fancy.
It tastes like Corona. It's not very impressive. I went to grab these three beers that I wanted in my fridge, and Lex was like, "Don't touch those. Those are for Gene and Aaron when they get here." And I was like,
Smoking already?
God. She found them. They're like these little unicorn ones, and all the proceeds from them go to LGBT organizations. So she wanted to save them for us to drink while you're here. But I'm like, we can just
I
get more.
love
Like, Jesus. So,
it.
but no, I wasn't. So now I'm stuck with crappy wannabe Corona beer. Thanks, guys.
We're not even drinking
Yeah.
tonight.
So it's called
Rude.
Hell
All right.
Sully.
I'm drinking Ink Works Wine Company 2016 Red Blend, which I thought it was really good, and it ended up being a screw cap, but it tastes all right, so can't be a hater.
Where's it
Can't
from?
judge me.
Where's it
I
from?
don't know. Says produced and bottled San Luis Obispo.
Oh,
So,
okay.
okay.
That's fun. I am drinking a Wildberry Truly.
Living on
'Cause,
the edge.
well, you know, I really am. I'm, yeah. I'm just trying to be a little health and, you know, this only has 100 calories.
And
And two
you're
carbs.
right, and she's earning her Junior Karen badge.
No, that'd be if I had like a White Claw.
Oh.
Truly is
Well, to
totally
me, they taste the
acceptable.
same.
Totally different.
Okay.
Frick frack, what are you drinking?
You're Frick.
Me?
Doesn't matter at
Water?
that point. Yeah, you're I don't want to be
Water.
frack.
I am Frick and I am drinking water because Erin and I drank for 5 days straight.
Literally.
Literally, not even joking. We
God.
touched on everything that you can possibly imagine.
Dirty.
And today I had to donate blood today, because the Red Cross keeps saying that the COVID is making blood supply very short. And so, because I almost fell over making my bed before, I don't think it's a good idea to add alcohol.
It's a very responsible decision.
Yeah. Her blood was probably 90% alcohol.
We can't even use this.
Yeah, I told Aaron yesterday they're going to have to give it an octane rating.
They're going to repurpose it as hand sanitizer.
Oh, shit. So I'm also, I'm doing a little water tonight. Yeah. I thought I was ready.
For Jane.
I was not ready. I mean, the first day we went through a whole bottle of vodka, which you guys heard on the last podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we bought a big giant handle of it. And we continued to drink the shit out of Vail watermelon vodka.
Ooh,
although I will tell you, it was delicious. I don't remember at all complaining about it. And it went down real smooth. And I do think that the best part is I never woke up hungover. So
that's really impressive.
Sneak attack.
That is really impressive. You guys are hungover now.
I know, right? 2 days later, or a day and a half later. I didn't drink it all yesterday, Gene. I don't know if you did.
Well, I didn't either, only because all the airport bars were closed.
And I was just like, if I put...
Fucking COVID!
Yeah, if I put another drop of alcohol in me, my body's going to be like, seriously? So, I didn't. And then I didn't today, and I kind of miss it, so...
No one should expect you to go more than 2 days, Aaron. It's not reasonable.
Mm-mm. So this water tastes like shit. I'm just kidding.
It's so flavorless.
Oh, no sparkle in it either.
So big week, guys. It was a big week at the Supreme Court of the United States. The first big monumental thing that happened, which I was really surprised by the 6-3 turnout for it, especially mm-hmm. Gorsuch writing the opinion like that.
Yeah.
That was kind of mind boggling to me. So if you haven't heard, the Supreme Court pretty much verified that LGBT individuals, LGBTQIA plus, are... they are protected by the Civil Rights Act. So we can no longer be fired just for being part of the LGBTQ community, which is a real big deal because up until that happened, there was still several states that you could lose your job for being fired.
Close to 30.
Close to 30, yeah. So
yeah.
Were you guys real surprised? I wasn't surprised by Roberts because he's turned out to be like the swing vote for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But right. I was surprised by Gorsuch.
I was surprised too. And all like the whole time, because, you know, thank God I forgot about it. Cause it just would have kept bugging the shit out of me. But the whole, you know, when I heard that it was on the docket for them to do this past year, all I could think of was, is if these motherfuckers, conservatives who call themselves constitutionalists, there really isn't any room to waver there. I mean, you know, if it's an act that protects individuals from losing their jobs based on some superficial characteristic, I mean, superficial in, you know, general, not that it has to do with anybody's job. So, you know, I just threw it up in the air and said, Jesus Christ, let's just, maybe the better part of reason will happen in this case, since 2020 has been an utter and disgusting shit show. However, we're in month 6 of 2020. Maybe,
oh my God,
maybe
right?
This past week of SCOTUS magic is signaling a shift out of the shit show. For the rest of 2020.
You better knock on some wood, girl.
Yeah, not in Florida.
The
And I'm sober, and I just said that.
I was listening to one of the lawyers that actually argued the Supreme Court case. She was on a podcast during my commute. And she was saying that they actually tailored their entire argument to target Gorsuch because they thought of all of the conservative justices. If they if they could speak to the actual language of the Constitution and how legalities were written and protection under the Constitution, they would be able to win him over. And if they could get him, they already knew they could get Roberts. So it was really interesting to listen, and I didn't understand half of it because I don't speak legalese, but it was really interesting to hear how they specifically, they very much focused on non-emotional issues and really went after the actual document itself and how it was intended to protect individuals. And just because at the time it was written, it didn't necessarily envision a future for LGBTQ people. That shouldn't stop the actual words of how the legislation was written. And it seems that Gorsuch agreed pretty much that you can't limit what is written into the Constitution just based on what is there at that moment. So, cause you can't predict what's going to be in the future. And I thought it was really interesting that that's the way they approached it. Cause you see so many like SCOTUS, however you want to pronounce it, decisions that there's so much emotion based in it, and rightfully so. You're talking about people's livelihoods, people's marriages, people's, you know, immigration status. I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but it was interesting that when you switch it up and you go after kind of the framing and the intent of the Constitution, how it sways people that you never thought who would have thought Neil Gorsuch would have voted to protect LGBT rights. Like, it's just mind-boggling to me. But I mean, so maybe some of these guys have a little bit more integrity than we give them credit for.
Right. Except
not Kavanaugh.
Not Kavanaugh and not fucking Thomas. Two guys who have shit all over women in their previous lives. One in the workplace, that fucking Uncle Tom. And then the other one, I'm going to rape a girl in law school, but, you know, I'm going to get off because I have such a promising future. Ugh. These are the two fucks who said, "Ooh, it would be immoral to allow LGBTQ people to have actual rights within the workplace." Ugh. When fucking Thomas harassed the shit out of someone else in the workplace and got away with it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it was real interesting because they really specifically made the argument of we're not discussing like marriage equality. That's not on the table here. This is strictly should someone be fired for what they do in their personal life. And if, because you can word it that then if you're going to start there, can people be fired for other things in their personal life that maybe you agree with them being able to do, you know, if they're part of a militia, should you be able to fire? Like, there's all these, it's that whole slippery slope theory. So protecting it also protects your interests, whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. So they crafted the argument really well. And I was very impressed by Lambda Law for doing what they did. So, and then the other Supreme Court decision, which I think shocked everybody again, was Dreamers DACA got Trump's opposition to it. And he promised when he was campaigning that he would overturn it. And he tried to in the first year. He said that the way Obama had written it, his executive orders were illegal. It was overreach. It got struck down in the federal court first, saying that it was legal. So it went to the Supreme Court. And of all of them, I was really holding my breath over this one, because immigration is such a fundamental right-wing talking point. And then Roberts kind of surprised me again. But they have left the door open because they specifically said why they were striking it down and kind of wrote the playbook for if this administration wants to cancel DACA, you need to include this, 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 and this to give us a reason to say that it's not legal. And they essentially didn't meet the burden of proof is what it came down to. So it wasn't an agreement of DACA. It was saying you didn't do a good enough job of proving your case it. So,
which is slightly scary,
but still good.
Oh, it's still great. They're protected for a few more years at least.
Yeah.
Any blowback that Trump gets for all of his racist, discriminatory, horribly pandering policies is just a beautiful thing, and I will rejoice in it. Even if it's for a month, I will rejoice in it. And, you know, he needs a fucking reminder that that Supreme Court is not there to do his fucking bidding.
Yes.
That you're appointing Supreme Court justice is not for you, for everybody else for the next 30 damn years, you tool.
Yeah, what Gene said.
Hey, but if you, this next election, the president's probably going to pick two new Supreme Court justices, which could swing it back, because Ginsburg is probably going to retire. God help her. I hope she can retire. I hope Trump loses and poor fucking Ruth Bader Ginsburg can retire.
Because she won't. She will not if he wins again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, she'll die. She'll die on that bench if he wins again.
She'll die on the bench.
Yeah.
And it'll be a weekend at Bernie's.
And Clarence Thomas is due up for retirement. He's old as shit, too. So there's a real possibility of, I mean, he may wait it out. But
he's out of tubes to put in people's pets
so
or whatever.
Gross.
God.
They all fell out.
That was,
the one good thing about getting old
is it though, Aaron?
I mean, if I never had him again, I'd be fine with it. Hey.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So, Stace, talk to us about what's going on right wing media this week.
Lately, it's actually just been our governor just put out that people need to wear face masks in public. Everywhere in California, and that's all anybody's been talking about, really. Nothing too exciting.
They'll bitch about anything, right? He opened things up, everything's open, but now you have to wear a face mask, and people are like, unbelievable!
Right?
What do you want, man? Just wear your fucking face mask. Who cares? Right. Yeah. Especially, well, it's been mandatory in our county forever. Like,
right. Well, and I love the argument of, like, you want to wear a mask? You wear one. Right, that's not how they work. Like, you wearing a mask protects other people, so fuck you. And
that's just not a thing that people are going for. That is not a selling point to fucking these ultra conservative, gun toting, Trump loving. Nah, I don't care. You're hell. Fuck you. If you're not well, stay home. I'm going out. I'm going out for some burr.
Well, I'm just honestly glad that the conversation has shifted from the riots back to face masks and COVID. It's so much more tolerable to read people act stupid about their own health than people acting stupid about protests.
But it's bad on the other hand, too, because it's like that should still be important, you know? Like that sort of, I don't think we've seen the end of it. And, you know,
you know
what I did see? That'd be great if they could arrest the cops who shot Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I think Stacey,
are they working on that? Oh, go ahead.
I think what Stacey meant, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is it's nice to see people, you know, acting fools about their own shit and not being disgusting racist constantly.
Well, no, I get that.
It's a nice little distraction.
Right.
I get that.
So you know what else? You know what I saw going around on conservative social media?
Tripping around conservative social media?
I know, right? Florida got into her veins a little bit. Now she's
now she's infected. She didn't get home with COVID. She came home with Booga Boys or whatever their name is.
No. But it's funny because the person who posted it actually lives in Florida. I guess the thing now, and you know, like I try to weed out, you know, I try to weed my Facebook page to who I'm following.
Is this Sherry that posted it?
No, I weeded her out. I hit her a long time ago. I gave her the fucking weed spray a long time.
Steve Ho.
Yeah. So every once in a while, another weed will spring up, unannounced, and it said Saturday, June 20th. Is a national no mask day in protest of being forced to wear a mask. So
are they all going to lick each other's hands and stuff? Cause that'd be great.
Oh, I hope so. But it was just, one post, you know, it was just like a meme or not even a meme. It was just words. June 20th, no mask, protesting. It's our right. Blah, 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 blah. So, I, you know, I never even met the person who posted this. So, so she like wrote, I'm just putting this out there. Just curious. Will anybody do this?
Social and then I experiment.
Yeah, social experiment. So I just wrote under it. I said, yeah, let's do it. And then next week, try no seatbelt day and see how that goes.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, you know, let's just fucking break all of the rules.
All the safety guidance.
And it's crazy the amount of people that I used to have a lot of respect for that now the stuff they're posting, I'm like, whoa, like you're a full on racist now. Or like, why are you a Trump supporter now? Or why are like all these things? And I've been really trying hard to kind of keep my mouth shut on things, but you'll appreciate this. I think, Jackie, somebody posted a video today that was like, you know, all we see are these videos of bad cops and we should see more things like this. And it's a video from Grand Rapids, I think. And it's some police officers and a toddler that's choking and how wonderful it is. And they never gave up trying to save this toddler and who was choking on a goldfish. I was so horrified by the lack of CPR and first aid training from these police officers that I was like, nobody commend this. Like, literally, I get what you're trying to say, but like, it is shocking how horribly they handled the situation. Like, they didn't know what to do. They're rubbing this kid's back.
Was it like they're The Office? Like,
kind Michael's of tapping. It was worse than that. It was so much worse than that. They flip him over eventually and start giving some kind of half-assed compressions, but like, not laying. I just was like, I really am so glad that this kid started breathing again. I also really hope that somebody saw this video and was like, fuck, we should train our police officers better on how to handle situations like this, because it's a miracle that kid took a breath. And they're like, go get the thing, go get the equipment, go get the equipment. And I'm like, okay, they're going to go get an AED. Like, I mean, I guess that makes sense. No, they come back with like a mask. Like, what are you doing? It's a 2-year-old. I don't give a shit if you have a mask or not. Like, give some breaths to that kid. What are you doing? So just so everybody knows, don't just rub a kid's back. Flip put him at an angle.
Use gravity.
Use the palm of your hand for those for those thrusts.
That's actually good information. If you have a tiny kid, flip them over, angle them downwards so that they're facing like at a 45-degree angle, and pound their back.
Yeah,
pound
very hard. Alternate between back thrusts and chest compression. Mm-hmm.
Also do that to me. If I ever am choking, please also flip me at a 45-degree angle.
We'll immediately hook up an IV of vodka because that has to be what's right.
It just was one of those things where I was like, even in this thing where you're trying to show like the good that they're doing, woefully undertrained.
Right.
And I was like, isn't that kind of the overarching theme?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, so not only do they not know how to save a life, they also take lives.
That's right. Perfect.
Speaking of videos that didn't hit the mark, did you guys see the, like, 15-minute video of the lady walking through Seattle? She's trying to do her newscast.
No.
So you guys know what's going on in Seattle. The people have, like, made their own little town, which I think is funny because they have people standing guard. Like, they're like, no cops, and then they, like, assign people to be the cops in their little town, which I think is super funny. But this lady comes in, and she just wants to show, like, what's going on and, like, have this little, in the background, whatever. She comes in, and the cameraman has Fox 13 or whatever written on the camera, and these kids come over, and they're like, Fox, you can't be here, like, and they freak out on her. They're like, fuck you, Fox is fake news, down with Trump, blah, blah, blah. And so she's like, I'm just trying to show what you guys are doing. And they're like, no, you spread lies. Like, this is not okay. You need to get out. She did a, like, 6-block walk of shame with them following her. She came her out of Seattle. But this is being posted. It's 15 minutes long. And in the end, she cries because she was scared and, like, all this stuff. And it's kind of sad. But it's being posted on, like, right-wing media, like, platforms. Because they're saying, look how gross these kids treated this lady who just wanted to be on the news. Right. She was just trying to do her job. And I'm like, I see the opposite here. I'm like, no, bitch. Like, one guy is, like, actually trying to have a conversation with her. And he's like, I follow you on Twitter and I read what you say and you post lies about us. We don't want you in here getting filming stuff and then posting what is not happening. Like, yeah, you know, making up narrative.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm just trying to show what you guys are doing. I'm trying to give you guys a voice, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, they walk her out saying, fuck Fox News, fuck Fox News. Like, you should totally watch it. It's 15 minutes long, but it's worth it.
No, I will watch all 15 minutes.
I will chant right along.
So proud of the younger generation.
I would be good. I feel like they're just using it on the wrong platform.
I would love to create our own town. Or just yes, we live.
God. Well, oh, yeah, God. Yeah, it's an interesting
Ladyville.
It's an interesting like social experiment.
I'd be willing to go to Ladyville at this point.
That's what I'm talking about, Stacey. Yes.
No, I don't mean Ladyville like that. Just like a feminist.
Thanks, Jean. Way to take it away. God.
I'm the fucking single one.
Did Jean just cock
block you? About me beaver damming you? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm jamming my clam, Jean.
These are new terms. Wait, beaver dam?
You've never heard that one?
No. What was the other one?
Jamming my
clam.
Clam jamming.
Man, what a clam jammer.
What a time to be alive, huh?
And the old favorite, twat block.
Yeah. The old twat block.
Oh, I'm learning so much.
You're welcome.
You know, you're never too old to learn new things.
Be a lifelong learner, as we say in the education business.
So,
also in Lesbianville.
I listened to another interesting podcast on my way to work today, and it was a whole discussion. Do you guys ever listen to The Daily on the New York Times Daily?
Yeah.
Okay, did you listen to it today?
No.
Okay.
No, because I usually listen the next night while I take a shower.
Oh, they were discussing who is a viable candidate for Biden's running mate, mm-hmm. and kind of the calculus behind it. And it's incredibly interesting because a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world right now is going to shape who he ultimately ends up choosing, obviously. And mm-hmm. it sounds like this is going to break both everyone's heart on here. Well, most people, I think. It's not going to be Elizabeth Warren.
No, I know. Is it going to be Kamala?
They don't know. It's probably 90% likely going to be a woman of color. And it's probably going to be someone younger because there is a pretty prominent theory, even though Biden hasn't confirmed it yet and his campaign will kind of balk at it. If he does win, he will not seek reelection. He won't run a second time. This is pretty much to unseat Trump. And because by that time he'd be 81 years old.
Right.
And I just don't think that's in his long-term plans. But you can't say that when you're running for the first term, right? Like,
that's right. Right.
Do you think it would be AOC?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. I mean,
it was Amy Klobuchar. That was who was number one on his list.
Screwed the pooch in the past on this whole.
Yeah. And her handling of the Minneapolis Police Department specifically has kind of knocked her out of. And not even just her handling of it, her refusal to kind of accept responsibility now that it is being brought to light, I guess, is kind of knocking her out of the running for it. And then the other issue with Elizabeth Warren is they're worried it would be kind of tone deaf to, in this time of like racial reckoning, to bring in another like 77-year-old white woman.
Yeah.
When there are plenty of qualified women of color. But I can't help but feel like I understand what they're saying, but damn, Elizabeth Warren has just gotten the shaft, you know?
Like,
yes. I mean, Hillary got the shaft in 2016, man. It's give the woman the shaft.
I would be perfectly happy if woman, black, white, whoever was Joe Biden's running mate. I understand why they're leaning more towards a woman of color with what's happening in the world. But Elizabeth Warren, she just would have been so damn good at it.
Mm-hmm. She really would have.
That just breaks my
and
heart.
To be honest, like, it does break my heart. But like you said, like, I get it. I 100% understand it. But it just makes me sad because I feel like this woman that has this great voice isn't going to get the chance to have her great voice as a very prominent leader in our country because of just where we're at in the United States history, the history of our country right now. You know, like, this is, it's just crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised to see her take a cabinet seat, though.
Oh, I'd love it.
Yeah, like, that would be okay with me.
I just don't want her to go away.
I don't either.
I just don't want her to go away.
I'm so hungry for her still that I like all of her words that I still follow everything she says on Twitter. I still follow her Instagram stuff. I still listen to everything she says. She just inspires me to want to be a better American. And the current president does not fucking ever do that.
The current president inspires suicidal tendencies.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly.
And if he wasn't such a dick, we probably would not be in this racial turmoil right now. Which is not to say that it would be a good idea to let it just simmer below like it had been. But given what has happened, thanks to the fueling of the fire of all the racists, it has to be a black woman because it's time. It's time in this damn country.
Kamala has some issues though too with being a prosecutor and her. I mean, you have to make hard decisions when you're a prosecutor, and she was the attorney or the prosecutor for the state of California. Like, there's some difficult decisions that you have to make, and that has come back to haunt her. I know that they're also looking at, and forgive me, I can't remember her name right now, the mayor of Atlanta.
Yes.
Stacey Abrams?
Yes, Stacey Abrams.
No, she's not.
Isn't she?
No, she ran for governor of Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she gave that really good speech.
Pretty decent, yeah.
With Killer Mike. I can't remember her name right now.
It's going to come to me.
Well, someone Google it.
Keisha Lance Bottoms?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So they're looking at her also. And the only thing that worries me about that as opposed to Kamala is Kamala has gone through the heavy, like, media vetting because she was already running for president.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the mayor has not yet. So I would hate to see her good image get tarnished because of what they're going to put her through, and she's not used to it. I don't know.
I want to say this, and I hope it doesn't come off sounding awful, but I feel like she's probably has a very thick skin. Do you know what I mean? As a black woman in America.
Yeah. In politics.
She probably can handle a lot of fucking shit. I mean, I know the conservatives, the Republicans are going to probably try to rip her apart, and she's probably going to stand tall and proud and just be like, bring it on.
I love Kamala. I'm a big fan.
I'm a big fan of Kamala. Yeah, but
Kamala's
I am not going to cry when I get that announcement, if I get that announcement. Mm-hmm. However, you know, women in general, and you know, I'm not making this up. Hillary Clinton even said it in one of the many speeches that I've listened to, that women, regardless of their color, have always had to work twice as hard as men to prove their worth in politics, in business, in anything outside the kitchen. And a woman of color will have to deal with a little bit extra. But any woman will be wrung through, you know, dragged through the mud and, you know, whatever it takes to make sure that, because Trump at this point, you can tell how desperate Trump is getting. I mean, he's trying to fire up everybody against the Supreme Court.
Did you guys see
that? I have to be reelected. Otherwise, we're going to have a completely liberal Supreme Court that's going to trounce on all your religious liberties. Man, he was pressing all the fucking buttons today on Twitter.
Did you see the new Lincoln Project video of him being weak?
No.
Oh, my God. His mind's going to explode when he sees this. They're calling him weak and frail and demented. And, like, it's showing all these pictures of him, like, sipping out of a cup with two hands and, like, tripping down the tripping down that gangway when he gave that speech at the at West Point. And they're like, can America really handle someone who can't take a sip of water? It is so if you guys don't follow the Lincoln Project on Twitter, like, it's actually comprised of liberals and a lot of Republicans that have left Trump. Like, it's the never Trumper Republicans. It's a mixture of both of them who I think they'll go back to a little bit more conservative ways once Trump's out of office, which I'm 100% okay with. I was talking to my mom the other day on the phone, and she was telling me how 20 years ago, there was this guy that she met that was very cute and nice and funny and good looking and in her age group. And then they became friends on Facebook, and he was not just a Trump supporter, but like a diehard Trump supporter. And she was telling me that one of her friends said, "Is it really that big of a deal?" And my mom said, "Yes, because in this day and age, it's a reflection of your morality, not just your political beliefs. Like, I have two gay daughters, and it is a really big deal to me." But she was saying how 20 years ago, no, it wouldn't have been a big deal. She wouldn't have cared. Like, right. If you supported George Bush, so what? Like, it's not, it wasn't that big of a deal. She wouldn't have even thought to ask. And we were discussing, you know, it's important to have a gas and a brakes. We need checks on ourselves too, because when people get really excited about an idea, it's easy to miss the downfalls in it or the issues that could come up. So you need people that oppose the idea to be able to point out where you're falling short. So it's good to be checks on each other, but Trumpism isn't conservatism, and it's a cancer. It's an absolute cancer.
Absolutely.
So, oh, Stace, what's going on in the at the farm in quarantine?
Nothing too exciting. We found out, like, school might not start, and everybody in our town is, like, going to different districts, putting their kids in homeschooling instead of distance learning. Like, everybody's really bummed. Like, it's hundreds of parents that have enrolled their kids in other school districts.
Really?
So I don't even know what it's going to look like being a school of, you know, 600 kids. Anyway, are like half of them going to be gone? Can the school open with only half of its kids? Like, I don't know. It's really depressing, but that's kind of all we've been like talking about lately.
What do you think?
I can't wait for some of these
babies. Yay.
I just can't wait for some of these Karens to really discover how much more work homeschooling is than distance learning, because I think a lot of them had that confused and thought they had been homeschooling already.
Mm-hmm. No.
What do you think, Stace, since your kids are going through it?
I don't know. I hope that the school opens up, because I can't imagine doing more distance learning. These kids need to be with people their age real bad for their mental health. And my kids are healthy, like, chill people. So I can't imagine kids that struggle with anxiety and other, you know, depression and stuff, what they're going through right now.
It's bad.
These kids need to be around other kids. And I can't imagine doing more distance learning. And like Stacey said, there's a big difference with distance learning and
homeschooling.
So I'm hoping that a lot of the parents are going to realize that and put their kids in, you know, either another district or just wait and maybe school back up. Because I feel like a lot of these kids, if they had their choice, wouldn't do homeschooling either. You know, I think the parents are jumping the gun, like, oh, you want to jerk us around and not give us an answer all summer? Like, fuck you, school district. I'm going to put my kid in homeschool. And the kids are like, Mom, hey, like, I want to go to school. Hopefully these Karens realize it, or they get sick of their kids and they're like, good, go back to school, you know? I don't know. I think it sucks.
I think it's sad. It's sad for the kids.
It's very sad for the kids.
Yes, I would not have done well as a kid.
Especially, are you, like, it's easy to have, like, a knee-jerk emotional reaction to something, because everyone's frustrated and everyone's tired of COVID. Like, that's, everyone feels that. Everyone wants it to go away. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. Right. So it's like this weird balancing act of having these knee-jerk reactions to fine, I'll just homeschool them then, instead of like kind of zooming out and being like, okay, what would the long-term effects of that be? What would the long-term effects on that be socially, mentally, emotionally, going to college, getting it, like all of these things? Because right now, like kids, everyone's in the same spot. So that's what I keep trying to remind parents. When they're like, well, my kid's falling behind. No, your kid's exactly where everyone else is. Like, they're not any further behind than your neighbor, because everyone is going through this together. So stop thinking of like, I need to give my kid an edge because nothing's happening, because everyone is in the same boat. And it's hard. It's hard to pump the brakes and not have those, like, we're so used to getting what we want, like when we want it. there's so many alternative routes to be able to kind of, oh, I don't like whatever Walmart, I'll go to Target. We have all these options all the time. And now communitively, we're being stuck in this position where we don't have a ton of options and people are struggling with that because you can normally find a way to maneuver the system to get what you want. And that's not the case in this instance because it's not in anyone's control. Like, and I agree, Stace, that's Lex's job. She talks to kids who are struggling right now with being away from their peers, being at home, not having that social interaction. Too many of them now are only communicating on social media, and that's not healthy for some of them because some of them are bullied and some of them are picked on. And like, or they're only communicating through video games, and that's not great either because then they're up till 4 a.m. playing video games. Like, there's all of these things that aren't being taken into consideration. But everyone's in the same boat. So the school district, I assure you, Karens, wants to reopen the school. They want to reopen the school. But they have to do it safely. They have to protect your children.
And that's
give them a minute.
Right. Like, I get that people are frustrated. But, like, I don't know. Like, working in an industry where you're constantly sort of waiting on what the next order is going to be, you don't get it ahead of time. It's not like the schools know what's going to be required way in advance. Like, it's changing so frequently that you have to go change everything, all your policies, all your whatever, all of the contracts have to be renegotiated with the teachers, and that has to go through their union, and there's just a lot that has to happen. And so I get that parents are frustrated and kids are frustrated, but teachers and administrators are frustrated too, and everyone's just trying to make the best decision, you know, for everybody involved. But I don't think if your kids are you know, lacking social interaction and all that kind of stuff, homeschooling them certainly isn't the solution.
No.
You know, so even though they're returning to school in very different circumstances, at least part of that is normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Like, they have to wear a mask, or they go half a week, or they do half a day, or whatever it is. At least there's some normalcy there, and they have a trained professional in charge of their education.
Right.
That helps.
Well, and I think it's really creating, it's like breeding this whole new, breed of Karen that is like Uber helicopter parent, like Apache helicopter parent, you know, combined with a Karen. And now you're going to have like this, like these super soldiers that are going to not understand that their kid, just like you said, isn't the only one going through this. Like, there's so many things that there's so many different kids that are going through the same exact thing. And so when you see that, my breath was just taken away by Kai's beautiful bone structure. like when you see that these parents aren't understanding about that and aren't trying to, they're not really trying to do the best for their kid. They're trying to do the best for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're trying to do the best for themselves instead of their kid. And they're not really looking at what they
want. I think it's their way. I mean, Stacey, you tell me, you probably talk to more moms than I do. It's like their little way of rebelling. You can't
tell
my kid
has
to do that. Yeah.
I talked to a teacher today that said, they put out this survey. They've been putting out all these surveys like, hey, if we do 50-50 distance learning and school, would you vote for that? Or would you rather do 100% distance or in the classroom? They put out these surveys. And so they put out a survey and they said, if we go back to school and the kids have to wear masks and they have to rotate classrooms and they only go different hours, blah, blah, what do you think of that? And all these Karens banded together and said, I wouldn't let my kid go to school if they had to wear a mask. That's like too restricting. How would they do PE? It's not comfortable. All these things. So they all banded together and sent that in. So now the district's like, well, we can't open because the parents refuse to make their kids wear masks. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Wouldn't it be better for them to be in a classroom wearing a mask than homeschooling?
Yes.
Hello?
Well,
what the hell?
If enough of them decide they don't want to do it, like that school's not going to have enough funding to open.
Right.
They're not going to get paid. And so now it screws it. Yeah.
And I don't think that's what's going to happen. They thought that if they all said, no, I won't send my kid to school if he has to wear a mask, they thought the school would be like, oh, okay, then we won't require masks. Like,
right,
seriously,
right.
Did we really?
That's not how science works.
Right. You're going to out care in the pandemic?
Right. No, we're not going to do this COVID thing anymore. Okay, Karen.
They are trying really, really hard. And let me tell you something. If this homeschooling Karen, I can teach my kids better than you, actually starts to become a thing, somebody better give me a full fucking refund on the ass load of money I laid out to become a certified high school English teacher.
Yeah.
Thank you and good night.
Jean, you can always still correct mine and Aaron's writing.
Yeah.
It is not going to waste.
Jackie, stop. Teach my kids fucking commas after butt.
I thought you were adding the commas after butt.
She's ignoring me.
I'm not ignoring you.
No, you don't put a comma after butt. You put a comma. You can put a comma before butt.
She's talking about
not
the beginning of a sentence.
Not when it starts a sentence.
But, oh, for sure not when it starts.
I didn't put them in last time, and you added them.
No fucking way.
So I didn't put them in.
Aaron must have added them.
I went through and they were all added, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm doing it wrong. So I added them all.
No, if you have a but in between two sentences working as a conjunction, right. The comma goes before the but. There is no universe we live in
right.
Where commas after buts work.
Did I not do that?
You did not.
You're telling me I put the comma after every but?
Yes.
At the beginning of the sentence or in the middle of the sentence?
At the beginning.
Yes, like, I thought you added them. I didn't put them in.
No, you think that you put commas where there's pauses.
No. Listen, when I got it back this last time, I had commas after all of my buts at the beginning of the sentence, so I thought I was doing it wrong. They were added in. So when I wrote it this time, I added them all.
I guarantee you I would never add a comma because I literally don't know where they go. The Gene adds them all for me. I'm gonna write run-on sentences.
Please do. We were doing this like
award winner.
We were doing this like self-assessment thing at work where we had to pick like, you know, five traditionally positive characteristics and five traditionally negative characteristics about ourselves. And when it got to the negative, I was like, okay, where's petty? Where's condescending? I thought of all the things I do when I'm in Facebook fights, and that's like my go-to. Like if someone's really pissing me off, is to like correct their spelling or their grammar,
right? Like first of all, it's
like
your
and, like, asterisk,
apostrophe.
I will never put one in again. I thought they were all added to mine when I got it back, so that's why I did it differently this time. So I will never do it again.
I promise you,
I did not add them after that. Never under, never in any bizarro world universe would I add them.
Okay, because
you know what she's gonna do in the next book? She's gonna blow all your minds and start using semicolons. Oh my God.
I get knocked on that too.
I knocked the semicolon out of you in Spellbound.
You did,
I think. Yeah. I did.
Yeah, that's completely my mistake. I went back and added all of them because I thought they were added in on this version I got back. So I apologize. I won't do that anymore. I thought I was missing them.
I know that you are a good student and I do not have to tell you the same thing over and over again.
No, you know what? You're not doing a good job teaching her, Jean. So I'm going to homeschool Jackie. Okay. Because she doesn't understand you.
Very well.
Well, the other crazy thing about this whole homeschooling thing is it's completely ignoring the moms that work and don't have the ability to homeschool their kids. So then now you're taking away the option for public school for them, which is a program that we have in this country. What are those kids supposed to do? All these Karens that banded together, you're taking the option away from these other families that don't have a choice.
And it's right back to that, like, you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. You don't want to go out, then stay home. Right, but people work. Mm-hmm. So if they can't stay home, they have to go to work. And so everybody needs to wear a fucking mask so that can happen. People need to send their kids to school so school can be a thing.
Yeah.
Right. But I just think like Jack said about like there's a lot of kids that get bullied or they are only talking to their friends on video games. There's also the kids that have shitty at-home lives. Their parents work all day and they're at home all day alone and lonely and maybe they don't have internet or whatever the case may be, where they're stuck alone. And at what point is risking getting the virus at school like better or worse than all the kids at home with their mental health or the kids that are being abused or the kids that are lonely or whatever the case would be like?
Right.
Which one? I don't know.
But you can also mitigate the risk of getting sick if you all the kids wore masks.
Right. And they had hand washing stations and they had hand sanitizer and all these different things.
Right. And you eat your lunch in your classroom and you.
And they stagger classes. Like they had this one option in one of the like polls that they sent out where they said, what if we sent kids every other day? Yeah. So that some of the kids went Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and some kids went Tuesday, Thursday, and then they switched, and only half the kids were in the classrooms, and we had 10 kids per class. Like, that's amazing. Let's do that.
Yeah. Right.
At least that's a better learning environment anyway.
It absolutely is, and it brings back the sorely needed consistency and structure that is messing with the mental health. The kids don't understand. You know, they have a million reasons in their head why their mental health is being affected. But lack of structure and lack of stability is something they may not even be conscious of, but that is a really important thing.
Well, and I could see a lot of these things sticking around for a while. If having kids go to school every other day means lower, like smaller class sizes, it probably is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I would gladly shorten our 2-week breaks to 1 week to make that happen if we needed extra days, or switch to year round, whatever we have to do to get the kids back in the classroom and make a better learning environment. Like, I don't care.
Well,
Don't you ever suggest in front of a school teacher to have year round. You have a mutiny. Exodus from this country.
Jean, you got to get on one of these modified traditional schedules like we have, where you get 2 months off for summer and then 3 2-week breaks. One in October, one in December, one in March.
That actually sounds really nice.
It's phenomenal. How our schedules work out here.
Every 3 months, you get 2 weeks off.
I don't see how that. It's not 3 months. It's 7 weeks.
No, you have a two-month summer. Yeah, so it's June and July. It's a little short of that because they go, out the last week of June. It's 7 weeks, but still.
And then, you have 2 3-week breaks, or 3 2-week breaks.
3 2-week breaks.
That is not bad.
It was nice. I loved it.
A shorter summer is better anyways for retention, especially in the younger grades, they might as well call the first half of the year of first grade just kindergarten again, because those kids forget everything they learn over summer vacation. Mm-hmm. And you're right back to like, sit in your seat. Here's where the bathroom is.
Yeah, this is how you read.
I'm telling you, modified year-round school is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was going to say, too, what I think would be really cool is if they allowed students to, like, in different, like, if they found that they did really well on their own, like, in some sort of Zoom classroom, like, that could still be an option for some kids. You know, like, if they found that it was actually helping their anxiety to not be in a classroom all the time, then they could possibly, you know, be able to do online schooling, online homeschool, or not.
Then they need to do homeschooling.
Well, but I mean, like, when I lived in Valpo, they actually had the option for some students to do online schooling, and it was not necessarily homeschool with their parents. They could still like have access to a teacher, not in like a Zoom, maybe a Zoom meeting.
You can set up
a camera
in a classroom that the teacher can turn off and on, that the kids sitting in class maybe at their house and watching it.
But in this day and age, and it's probably not so in the younger years, but like 5th grade and up, or homeschooling is only online. The parents don't have to do anything. All the classes are online. They go in like one day a week and talk to real teachers and real tutors if they want to. They're allowed to take classes like in like once or twice a week in a classroom, and it's like 5 kids, but everything else is 100% online.
So the parents don't have to do anything. That's not homeschooling then. That's awesome.
Well, it is. They do it at home. But that's the difference. Like, distance learning, the teachers are putting these programs together, and all the teachers have different programs and different ways of communicating. Some like email. Some only like Google Chat. Some only like Zoom. Like, all these. So if you're a 7th grader, you've got 6 different teachers. You have all these teachers communicating with you with different ways, and it's every day they get on and they tell you what you're doing. Some of them get on at 6 a.m, some get on at 10 a.m. So you can't even really schedule your kid to start school at a certain time, because the teachers get on and tell you what to do whenever they want. With homeschooling, it's all just a laid out like plan already there and it's online and it's very structured and you don't have teachers there like, you know, every day checking in. So yeah. I totally get why the parents that are frustrated with distance learning are switching to homeschooling. I would too. If they told us all year, next year will be distance learning, I will put my kids in homeschool for the year.
But I think one of the things that you have to realize too is this wasn't anything they planned for. So I think the distance learning that you would get next year is very different than the shit they slapped together at the end of this year just to get through and make it.
I don't know. I would hope so. Yeah. I hope that over summer they're planning for both, for maybe going back, but also for a more organized distance learning.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel like it's still in a way thrown together, right? Whereas homeschooling is you go to whatever program and it's already established and done.
I just know the teachers that I talked to as far as the distance learning goes, and they were all high school teachers, but they were like, we just have to have enough assignments out so that this semester is valid enough to be able to get these kids to graduate that are kind of on the edge. And that's literally all they're doing.
Yeah, that sucks.
The other thing too is about this whole like Karen stampede kind of thing. And I want this now and you're going to do it my way or it's not all. How about teaching your kids some fucking resilience and realizing that things don't always go the way you plan. And sometimes you just have to go with the flow because that's how the world works. You're not going to get everything you want. Things aren't always going to go your way. Things are going to be frustrating. Things are going to be confusing and things are going to be hard. But you know what? We have to do it because that's how life works. How about that? Why don't we teach these kids some goddamn resilience?
Right. I have to go back to work on a rotating schedule and wear a mask and do all of those things. Is that my ideal situation? No, but guess what? I have to fucking do it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Giving kids what they want all of the time because that's their prerogative at that moment. That's not real life.
Talk to them. How many of these kids would actually rather stay home and get homeschooled by their parents and not see their friends as opposed to like, I can just go in every other day and wear a mask. Like, oh yeah, I'd want to do that and see my friends and, you know.
Now, I think you'll run into a different situation. I think that works fine for the older kids. I think you'll run into a different situation with little guys because mask wearing is more difficult when you're 5 years old, 6 years old. Like,
for sure.
Your hygiene isn't as good at that age, like consistent hygiene. Like there's all these other things that I think you'd have to look at different avenues for little guys, but
well, I think you just have to go more of the daycare camp setting, right?
Right. But I mean, third grade
stable
up.
Group, right. 12 kids in a stable group.
Yeah.
They have to stay in their classroom. I think the expectation that they'll keep a mask on is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But if you keep them in a stable group, you keep them in their classroom, except for when they go out for recess, like it's totally reasonable.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's not a one size fits all for like every grade.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
What's everyone obsessed with this week?
So, because we are so, like, holed up and tired of being in the house and whatever, my oldest daughter asked if we could go on a road trip, and I was like, that's a fantastic idea. So, just me and the girls are going all the way up the coast, like, to Oregon. And hotels are crazy cheap right now because of Corona. So, we got hotels on the beach for, like, $70.
That's so awesome.
And we're leaving Monday at, like, 6 in the morning and going.
That's awesome.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And super cool for pictures.
Yeah. Get out of Dodge.
That's so awesome.
Is Kai going with you or is it just the girls?
Just us.
Oh, fun. That'll be a trip.
Cool.
Yeah.
Girls trip.
Me and the girls. And I told them your phones, like, for the most part, are only for taking pictures. Like, unplug, get away from, like, everything, and just be out there on the beach in nature doing the road trip thing. We'll get all of the freaking car snacks. Like, I'll drive up the coast. Like, what is it? 1 or 101?
101.
I always get those confused.
101.
I'll take 101 all the
Pacific
way from
Highway.
San Francisco to Eureka.
Nice.
That is so cool. I seriously cannot wait to see your pictures. Like, I am very excited about that. I know, it's so dorky, but I love living vicariously through people.
That is a mom for the win, Stacey, for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I need to get out of here, too.
Stacey, what are you obsessed with?
I am obsessed with, well, fucking men. I'm not obsessed with them, let me just say. They're on my same. So instead, I'm going to say that I am obsessed with trying to order from IKEA. I've been trying to order a sectional for my backyard from IKEA for like literally 3 months. And I even went on Reddit and I was trying to find the best times to order from their like click and collect thing. And then I went and this guy made a website and he posted about it on Reddit where you can sign up and then they'll let you know when there's availability. But then I see the email like 3 minutes later and there's no time slots left. And then I finally get in and it says the sectional I want is out of stock. And it's so frustrating. And I know that seems like a very unimportant thing to complain about, but it's so annoying. And I just want to get this sectional for my backyard.
I try that. Like, that's IKEA's that in demand right now? I guess because everybody's at home.
So much. Yeah, it's so frustrating. And I guess the other thing is just like super frustrated, annoyed with people who are bitching and complaining about wearing masks. Still, this girl I'm friends with on Facebook literally posted she would rather just let all of her kids lick the sidewalk in Richmond and just get COVID and get it over with than have them wear masks to school and continue to stay
home.
COVID
will be the least of your worries if you let your kids lick the sidewalk.
God, ever heard of a staph infection?
She was like, they need to socialize. I'm like, they can totally fucking socialize right now. You can hang out in your social bubble, a stable group up to 12. Like, what are you so like, and the other thing I will say I'm a little obsessed with is I didn't wait. I hope Lex doesn't listen to this. I finished watching Love Life. It's so good.
Oh my God. That was going to be my obsessed with.
I was already almost done with it. Like, they released like 3 episodes at a time. So I only had 3 left when they released them. And I was like, I'll just rewatch it with her if she wants to rewatch it. But like, I'm going to need to know what happens. Oh, I love Anna Kendrick. I think she's delightful.
She is delightful. I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jane, what are you obsessed with?
I have 2 really quick ones, and then I have one that might take more than just a quick second. All right. First of all, I am obsessed with President Governor Andrew Cuomo's summer tan. He is looking fine. Secondly, I am still obsessed with my and Aaron's perfectly choreographed front and back cannonball. Into the pool.
First try.
No retakes. And that's what the world does not believe. They think that we're bamboozling them. It was one take. And anybody who wants to see it, go to either Aaron's X or my social media. It's all over the place.
Very good.
And it's just like 3 seconds of just sheer delight. Sheer delight.
Gail texted it to me and I was like, these bitches nailed it.
And like that we had to be drunk by that time too, right?
Were you guys ever sober?
We were not.
A little bit. Yes. Yesterday morning we were sober in the pool before.
Yes. We were very subdued.
All right. So I just finished last week. I just finished Mrs. America. It was about six hour long episodes, I believe. And it was fantastic. You know, if you didn't know or hate Phyllis Schlafly before, you certainly will after you see the way that she, you know, attempted to make sure that women don't get equal rights. But what happened, what many people may not know is they needed 38 states to ratify it. You know, back in the very early 70s, when the women's movement, in order to make the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, an actual amendment, they needed 38 states to ratify it. And it took, they never got to the 38. Well, in January of this year, they got to the 38 in January when Virginia became the 38th state to ratify it. Guess who is holding up the actual passage of the amendment in the Senate?
Mitch McConnell.
So not only is that fucking pelican gulleted old scum
Now is he not only holding the Equality Act hostage under his pile of dirty papers, he's also holding the ERA. So he doesn't want the gays and he doesn't want the women to have the full-on, full-on protections that we all deserve. And he's just a dick. And I saw, we saw a pelican the other day. I never saw like a pelican because, you know, I'm not from Florida. And it's like, that is Mitch McConnell can fit fish in there. He could fit fish in there like a pelican. And so ladies, feminists, the ERA after 50 frickin' years has finally all the states it needs to be ratified. And Mitch McConnell is again preventing that from happening. I think Gloria Steinem is like the only pioneer that's still alive to see this. She's in her early 80s.
Okay.
So fuck off, McConnell and Amy McGrath. I'm still sending you my $5, honey. I think we're going to do it in November.
Okay, I had one more little thing now that Jean told her story that I have to say I was obsessed with, and it was when Gail referred to her as a Connecticut beer hoe.
Yes.
Obsessed.
Gail sure knows how to sling those zingers.
Zacked.
She really does.
She was zacked.
Gail was a sure delight.
Yes. Jean kept trying to get her tie on.
When the night I arrived, Gail was working, and when she came home, the tie was down like Dean Martin in Vegas. And I got to hug, slung tied Gail, and that was nice. And then I tried to get it one other night. She came home from work. I tried to get a picture of her in her tie, her open tie, and she wouldn't do it. Man, she just wouldn't do it. She's like documenting all my comments. So when I do try to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court, she's gonna come forward.
I was sexually harassed by Jean Copeland.
Aaron?
And Aaron, you'll have to say that because you were there, so you'll have to say you were too drunk to remember.
I was. I don't remember anything. I know nothing.
She doesn't even remember you going to Florida.
Right. You know,
well, she picked me.
Yeah, I did.
Up and then remembered me back. So
I remembered to drop you off, and I happened to pick you up. So I don't know. I have two things I'm obsessed with. My first one is Jean being here. We just had a really great time. It was just a lot of fun. And I was really obsessed with the breweries we went to because they all practiced social distancing and they all had us wear masks, which I loved. Obviously, but I mean, even before St. Pete mandated it, they had it all in place. So it was really cool.
Most people were doing it too.
Yeah,
that was nice.
People, yeah. There were a few Karens. And what is it? Chads?
Kevins.
Karens and Kevins. So the next thing that I'm obsessed with is Love Life. I started watching it after Stacy said to watch it. And I like fell in love with it. I am obsessed with Anna Kendrick all over again. She is absolutely amazing in it. She's just perfect. I had a crush on her from the moment she opened her mouth. And the narrator is amazing. And some of the guys that they highlight are just delightful as well as frustrating as fuck. And just things that happen in it, I just really felt it. And it's just a really great, great series in the sense that it highlights how everybody's path to love is different. And it's really, really, really cool. I really, really, really loved it.
Cool. I'm obsessed with, I finally get to see Stacy this weekend. So, Lincoln turns 2 next week and, we are going to, Stacy's house this Sunday to celebrate his birthday with just, Stacy's family, Lex and I, Lincoln, obviously, Bueno's coming and other Stacy hasn't said if she's coming or not yet. No, she says she's not coming.
Yeah.
So, I haven't seen Stacy since March.
Yeah, March 17th.
Yeah.
I've counted the days down. So, terrible.
So we're gonna go swimming. Lincoln's gonna meet the baby pigs.
He's
turning two, so I'm really excited about it. So it'll be like the first place we've actually gone, minus like the hardware store, or whatever since this whole thing started. So I'm so excited.
I have like, I went overboard with presents. I got like 40 balloons. I'm like, you're coming to my house.
I love it.
Like, you know, it's just us, right? And I'm like, I don't care.
And I mean, Lincoln doesn't, I'm glad he doesn't even realize it's his birthday. He's not old enough to like, I'm glad he's not disappointed that it's, we're not like, I think he's going to be excited when he sees like all the Mickey stuff, cause he's obsessed with Mickey Mouse right now. But, I'm glad he's not at the age yet where he's like, but I'm, none of my friends will be there. Like he'll be perfectly happy just swimming in the pool and playing with the pigs and like getting Mickey things. So, I also found him, I must've searched like 100 different websites today. The only shoes, he's in one of those phases. The only shoes he'll wear right now are Crocs, which is gross. So, but they're easy to put on, like whatever. Crocs work for a 2-year-old, but there's these Mickey Mouse Crocs that I have been trying to get him. But I finally found them. They're $40, which hurt my heart a little bit, but I got them for him and I'm hoping they get here before his birthday. So he also got a power wheel for his birthday.
A power wheel.
It's super cool. It's like this little dinosaur. It's from Jurassic Park. It's like he's riding a raptor. And
oh my god, that's so awesome.
All of the grandparents, because I didn't want the grandparents to send a shit ton of toys. The kid already has too many toys. So we picked like one big thing and we're like, if you all want to contribute to this, let's get him this and it will last till he's like probably 5 or 6. So they all sent $100 for it. You know what's funny? You know how bad I wanted a power wheel when I was a kid? My parents never let me get one. I mentioned this to them and they're throwing money at me for the grandkid to get this goddamn power wheel. Like, throwing money. They're like, sure, no problem. I had checks within like days of even mentioning it. So I was trying to wait. I wanted to get him the Batmobile, but it's been out of stock for months and months and months. So I finally just... He's very impressed with the dinosaur, though. He thinks it's very cool. He's got a little helmet with a mohawk on it that he thinks is equally as cool. So it's he's a cool kid.
Mm-hmm. How freaking cool is that? Those pictures. I can't wait for the birthday party pictures.
Oh, man. He's gonna be really excited about the Mickey stuff.
I can't wait to be obsessed with Lincoln after we visit. Like, that's going to be my best. Sorry, guys. I'm not trying to zack you, but I can't wait to meet Lincoln. I literally cannot wait to meet his little
kids. I'm the one that literally feels I'm zacked because I just freaking got home from her house, and already she's looking to be obsessed with something else.
I can't pine after you forever. Come on.
You what?
I said I can't pine after you forever.
Yeah, then you will.
Well, that's it for us this week, guys.
You can at least wait for me to put my luggage away, can't you?
Nah. That's it for us this week. Wash your hands.
Yeah, wash your hands and wear your mask.
Don't be that guy. Wear your fucking mask.
Right. Don't be a Karen.
Don't be a Karen.
Don't be a dick.
Or a Kevin to like the fucking... 5 guys who listen to us.
Protest something, will you fucking pick something that's gonna matter 5 months from now or 5 years from now? There are a lot of great things to protest about. Pick one of those. Don't fucking protest wearing a goddamn mask.
Do you want to tell your kids you were protesting about golf? Like,
that's
not cool.
No.
It's like when whoever I put that thing I posted on, I was like, oh my god, just wear your fucking mask.
That's so funny.
Oh yeah, to my poor friend Mike.
Yeah, Mike, if you're listening.
Yeah, he got it. He probably doesn't. I'm sure he doesn't listen.
Okay.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. Okay. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.